I've become really passionate about the way arts can really express feelings that we have that we can't otherwise express. Like, I think a lot of us struggle to put how we feel into words. And when I see someone able to draw it, it's like another connection. It just cemented this belief that we're all creative and we can all draw. Like everyone, if I give you colors and a pencil, they can draw their anger. And it'll be super raw and real and unique to just them. And when you draw your anger, you could suddenly see it. Like it doesn't exist as something inside of you. You kind of like create distance. And then when you create distance, you can ask questions and you can build a relationship with it. And then you have this whole like journey of healing that just starts from taking what's inside of you and putting it on paper.
Welcome to A Way of Thinking. I'm your host, Jessica Huang. This podcast is dedicated to lighting the way towards greater creativity, purpose, and inner peace. My own journey has taken me from a decade-long corporate finance career to following my own path as a purpose coach. I help people move from an unfulfilling corporate career to the creative career of their dreams. Now let's dive into today's show. Hello and welcome to this episode of A Way of Thinking. I'm your host, Jessica Huang. And today I have the great honor of talking with artist, designer, educator, and author Rukmini Poddar. And Rukmini is best known for her drawings that give life to her emotions. And she has been a personal inspiration to me. I have had the pleasure of first enjoying all of her incredible posts on Instagram, and then taking part in many of her workshops and drawing along with her. So it's been a real pleasure to experience a lot of Rukmini's work and now to have this conversation with her. And so in this episode, we talk about purpose. We talk about how she got started with drawing her emotions, her 100-day projects, and the journey of really making her creative passion into her career. We also take this journey in terms of what it was like for her to create her book, Draw Your Feelings, a creative journal to help connect with your emotions through art. And we also talk about the process of writing her book, which included having to break up with her book. And I also share some of the drawings that I've created in the workshops with Rukmini. And so I will invite you to definitely check out Rukmini's book, Draw Your Feelings, a creative journal to help connect with your emotions through art. And so stay tuned to listen to that conversation. And before we get started, let me make a few quick announcements. So first, if you've been enjoying the show, if you're loving A Way of Thinking, I invite you to donate to the podcast at jessicahuangcoaching.com/donate to support all the efforts that go into making this podcast a reality. Also, if you are someone who is interested in following your creative passion and really making that into your career, and you're looking for support in getting there, then I invite you to book a strategy session with me and start strategizing on how to really start creating that exit plan and making that dream a reality. And you can do that at jessicahuangcoaching.com. And I will be honored to help you in that journey. So thank you so much again for tuning in. And without further ado, here is my conversation with Rukmini Poddar. Our guest today is Rukmini Poddar. Rukmini is an artist, designer, educator, and author. She is best known for her drawings that give life to her emotions. She leads creative workshops, including a personal favorite of mine, Looking Back and Letting Go, her free annual year-end workshop. She has a new book out called Draw Your Feelings, a creative journal to help connect with your emotions through art. And she is based in San Francisco, California. So welcome to the show, Rukmini.
Hey, thanks, Jessica. I'm so glad to be here with you today.
I'm so excited to have you here. So Rukmini and I connected when she was having a book launch event at the Bhakti Center here in New York City a few months ago. So to take you a little bit back, I found Rukmini through a friend, like following her on Instagram. I loved everything that you were doing. I especially love your monthly little words.
My monthly feelings chart.
Yes, yes. Thank you. I was like, I don't know how to explain that. But that was the starting point. And then I took a few of your workshops. I just loved them. And I love the work that you do and the ability where you're helping people connect to two things that I think that people struggle with a lot, which is creativity and emotions. And I think that's so powerful what you've been doing. So that was kind of my personal journey with Rukmini, has been really enjoying her art, enjoying her workshops, and then getting to meet her in person a few months ago, which was really exciting. And then inviting you on this podcast. So I am beyond excited to have you here. So thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show.
Of course. Thank you, Jessica. It was such a pleasure to meet you in New York, and I'm happy we get to stay connected here too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I start all these interviews off with talking a little bit about purpose. So I would love to start for you. What is kind of your take on what is purpose and how you found purpose in your life?
Yeah, it's such a it's such a great question. And it's like a big question. And I feel like the whole world is asking this of each other and ourselves. And yeah, purpose for me is not really a destination. It's something I'm still climbing towards and figuring out, but it's really connected to my heart. And I think for all of us, purpose is something that lives deep within us. It's not something that we can achieve externally. In some ways, I feel like I could get all the accolades and awards in the world, but if I'm not satisfied, I'm not really living my purpose. And so for me, purpose is that inner compass that really guides me to both do what I feel is natural for me and what makes sense for me and serves others. So it's really that combination of being of service to others and tapping into what I feel like is my nature and what I love to do. So in a very simple way, you can write books on purpose, but the simplest way is like bringing together what I love and being of service to people really feels like my purpose.
I love that. I love that so much. So with your journey, like how did you actually get started with all of this, with drawing your feelings and really connecting to your art in this way?
Yeah, for sure. Honestly, if I looked back like 7, 8 years ago, I never thought I would be doing this. And I think a lot of people who sort of build up a career in this way or like a creative project, they never start with a grand plan. You actually have to start with like trusting the unknown. For me, I didn't even know what that passion or that purpose was. Those were like such big words. I think more than anything, it was like following a curiosity, which is always a good place to start, especially if anyone wants to like figure out what is my purpose. It's like just take the little small steps and do it as consistently as you can. And you can trace my journey back to many places, but I like to start it at the 100 Day Project. For anyone who follows me, I am like an avid fan of this project, an advocate, and I do it every year. I don't even complete it every year, but I at least do it. And that's something, you know, we can get into more later. This will be like my 9th year. So basically I'm not consistent in a lot of areas of my life, but this 100 Day Project, I started in 2015 and it was such a game changer. There was something about it that I literally told myself, like, if I can do this every year, as long as I can, I would be happy. That would be me living my purpose. So that was the seed of it.
That's so interesting. So something that we had talked about before we started is this whole like cultural element of kind of going down a different path, because I would consider what you're doing now with so much creativity involved is not something that typical, especially for people who are of Asian descent, of immigrant families. So I'm curious, what has that experience been like for you, kind of carving such a different path for yourself?
Yeah, thank you for asking. I think it's a really important conversation to have. And I mean, yeah, like simply put, I was probably like the only brown girl in art school, you know, like there weren't many people like me that looked like me. And it's true, being of South Asian descent or Indian, Asian, Chinese, Japanese, wherever we're coming from. And, you know, this might be for many other cultures. I don't know what it's like in other countries as well, but going off the beaten path definitely takes courage. And it's hard to do something when there's not so much representation. And so for me, I would always get really excited when I saw other Indian girls doing what I was doing or in graphic design or in art school, but it wasn't so common. And so it wasn't so difficult. I felt like my family was encouraging of what I was doing, but it did always feel like I feel like I was walking my own path instead of walking a path that was laid out for me really carefully. But it wasn't like I was this big, you know, I wasn't this huge trailblazer. I mean, I started off as a graphic designer. And so that was like a career path that was both creative and made sense. There was it was like predictable. It was good for me. But what I did was like, I kind of on the side would keep my passions going, my passion projects. And then I just like kept opening one door after another. Any little opportunity that came, I would go for it. And it's become a career, which still blows my mind. You know, some of the best messages I get are from other people who say like, wow, I come from an Indian background. I've never seen someone like you, like have this career or do these projects or write this book. This is so encouraging. Or, oh my goodness, like I've always wanted to be an artist, but my parents never let me. And so, yeah, it's such an honor. And it's really encouraging to receive that because I know that feeling. And so I guess answering your question, being on the other side of it, I feel really grateful. It feels simultaneously exciting to do something that I know is not the usual, is not the norm. And it also always, the self-doubt is like constantly behind me because I'm never quite sure if I should be doing this. At some point, it's like, okay, when do I get the real job? When do I get the consistent paycheck? And so there's no shame to either one. I feel like if I were to even go back into a traditional career role, that might be what's best for me. But what's important is, yeah, feeling like that community of support is there at all times. I'm getting a little lost in my answer, but I said a few things that I hope make sense.
Yeah, you said a lot of wonderful things. I mean, I think it's amazing, right? Like, I'm so glad that you had the support with your family to go down this path, because that can be a challenge, right? Is like sometimes our families might not actually be as encouraging as we would like them to be. So I am glad that you have that.
Yeah. One thing is like also it's given me a lot of empathy for why our parents wouldn't do that as immigrants. I mean, they just had to struggle so much. And there's such a huge generation gap that I feel like they just don't get it. Like, how do you make money from a creative career? They haven't seen any examples. And so it's up to us to really both understand their context and offer some sort of support and still like not give up what we're interested in. And I think there is a way to like balance both worlds. I think sometimes we like romanticize the idea of like, I'm going to quit my job and just jump into this. And like, you don't have to be so dramatic. You can do small things on the side and build it. So by the time that I was really building out a career, like I had this huge following online and I had so much work to show because I was consistently over 6-7 years building this portfolio. And so that gave me a lot of confidence. And anyone who saw me, they knew that there was potential there. But there is probably ways, and it can be difficult, but as much as you can straddle both and understand both sides, is important.
Yeah, I'm actually curious along those lines. Like, how was it for you kind of sticking with your creative endeavors while you were doing your graphic design jobs? Like, was that difficult for you? Because oftentimes it is hard to really carve out that space for what we really want to be doing.
Yeah, it was. It was, I mean, in one sense, I'm grateful that I was in graphic design because it was already gave me a foundation of creativity. I went to art school. Like, there was a lot of that going on. So that did help. But I do think at one point I had to figure out what was important, like what was really giving me life. I did take some gap years and I feel like I avoided work opportunities that could have brought in more money and more experience to do what I was doing. Like, I stayed in like a job working for like a nonprofit center. I was working for the Bhakti Center in New York, which I loved, but it was also, that was like a non-traditional workplace. And I could have taken other jobs. I could have like emphasized more my design career. But I think at one point I sort of stayed in a place that gave me a little bit more space to be creative. So that was my decision that I don't even think I was making consciously. But when I look back, I'm like, yeah, that's why I was there for so long, because I spent so much time on the side drawing and illustrating and just testing things out. And that was really helpful.
That is such an interesting point, right? Like, even if you're not even conscious of it, that is such an interesting way to look at it, where it's like you're maybe subconsciously were more focused in this area of what you really wanted to be building out and not trying to really drive full force in a direction that isn't truly where you wanted to go. So it allowed you to stay and have that foundation, like have that support your real passion in a way.
Yeah, I believe we're always making decisions. Sometimes I look back and I'm like, oh, I didn't decide to do this. But the truth is I did in little ways. My behaviors was like, where was I putting my energy? What was important to me? So these were all decisions that we're constantly making. And if we look at it, we might notice what's really important to us. That's where we're putting our energy.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. One other thing that you brought up earlier was this idea of like not having role models. And I think that's actually why I love having you talk right now, is because it's like you get to become the role model that you didn't have in a way, right? Like, you get to show like it is possible to have this kind of career and go down this different path that wasn't necessarily modeled to you prior.
it is both really satisfying to be able to have that opportunity. And it also feels like a good responsibility, if you know what I mean. It's like a sense of like, yeah, there is a responsibility when I feel like people are looking up to what I'm doing and they're impressed, or I have like a book out now. You know, I can't, you know, of course, I'm still human. I'm still going to have self-doubt. I'm still all of that stuff. But it's like the responsibility that's good, that feels that, yeah, I want to really live into this role that I'm creating. I want to be like of integrity, that when I tell people to draw their feelings, I'm also practicing that. When I'm telling people to live a creative life, like I'm also engaged in that, cultivating that self-awareness. So I think it's just two sides, that it's both really satisfying and it's like a responsibility I try to live into.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I love it. I think it's really incredible. And I love having you modeling that for all of us.
Thank you. And I have to say also one more thing is that there still is role models. I think even when we don't see it modeled much, there's always people we're looking up to. So just like as you're saying that, like maybe I provide that role for some, which is wonderful. I definitely see that in others. Like I have those people also on Instagram I follow that I'm starstruck or have like impacted me so much just by seeing what they do. So I think that's always there and that's really important too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about, because you mentioned the whole 100-day project and how you may not always complete it. So I would love to hear you talk a little bit about what that project has been like and talk a little bit about this fact that you don't always complete it.
Oh my God. Yeah, I don't, because life happens. It's so important to just know where we're at in life. So I can say a lot about these projects. And for those who don't know, the 100-day project is a very simple, it's like an art challenge where you draw or do anything creative every day for 100 days and you showcase it somewhere. So a lot of people do it on Instagram. It doesn't have to be drawing. It could be singing. It could be exercise. It could be cooking, like anything that you want to do for 100 days. And the idea is that if you do anything consistently, it will change you. Like creativity is born out of consistency. It's not born out of like a whiff of inspiration that comes and goes. And I know a lot of artists that struggle with this, and I really do struggle with this still. I mean, a little less, because this practice has really taught me about like, just show up, just create art, even when you're not feeling like it. The practice of doing it after many days will be amazing. So I started doing this. I created these little obscure emotions in 2016, and that's the seed of this whole project. I was drawing my own feelings, and I was just using it as a way to process and to make cute little characters out of these feelings that I had that I felt were a little ambiguous. The best thing that ever happened was when I posted on Instagram, people would share like, wow, I have always felt this way and I never had words for it. Thank you. And so that's where I guess that purpose element comes in, because you take what you do that's very important to you and you connect it with others. And then it becomes of service, that what you're doing is now supporting and serving someone else. So I felt that, first of all, this was important to me, but I was so surprised that it could be helpful to others. And so I kept going with this project. It was really beautiful what it turned into. And I learned so much. I created like this little manifesto. If you ever go on my website, I have 10 lessons that I've learned. And one of them was that honesty will always be attractive, and that I love drawing imperfect and incomplete things. You know, so much about what we create, if we just unfilter it and we really let our heart through, like it will no doubt attract someone in a really important way. And I think as artists, it's such an important thing to give ourselves permission to just create without it needing to look good or to be of a certain quality, and to just create quantity. So I do believe in quantity over quality. A lot of people think they get confused. They're like, don't you mean the other way around? And I was like, no, there's something so amazing about having like quantity is what we can control. We can't always control quality. And when we try to rack our brains to control quality every single time, we'll go crazy, because an artist, like, we are not meant to be perfect in everything we're doing. We're not machines. We're meant to process and be honest and be vulnerable. I think that's the job of an artist. And so that was a big takeaway in what I learned, is how to focus on the quantity. I know that if I'm vulnerable and honest, it will translate into quality. So, but there's so much more I can say about that. I can share about why I don't always finish it, if that's relevant for people.
I'd be curious. Yeah, please do.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many reasons, but I think as I've been growing over the years, my relationship to this project has been shifting because it's something I still want to hold on to every year. And my art has been shifting. So I used to create art just on the side and just throw it on my Instagram. And I mean, now it's really become like a business. And so that shifts my relationship to my art. It's like, okay, how do I still create messy, imperfect, whatever art? Like my own standards have gone higher. And so thankfully this project like brings me back into this space of exploration and experimentation. But more than that, I have realized that this project helps me recognize what my needs are. And I think this is so valuable for every single person on the planet. If I need grace and I need to be more gentle and I need to flow, I'll approach the project in a way that I give more grace to myself. That if I do it for only 20 days, or if I take a 2-month break, or if I'm just approaching it with that softness, then I'll just accept that's what the project is needing of me this year. And some years I'm like, I need fire. I need someone to kick me in the butt every day and get me to work. And like, it's a need actually. So it's coming from that place still of self-care. And so when I do that, that's when I approach the project with like a little bit more grit and a little bit more structure. Some projects I have done that have been just exploration. Like, let me just draw something. And some projects are really specific. It's like, I want to learn about the Enneagram. Let me draw 100 days of the Enneagram, or I want to learn about this. You know, so I just want to share that's something really important, I think, for creatives before you go on any project. Like, know your expectations for it. And last year, I was so busy promoting the book. So I did about 40 days of a 100-day project, and I gave myself grace to not complete it. Some years, I do complete it, but I take 300 days and I complete it, but that's just what I needed. So that's a little bit about that.
Yeah, I love that, because what I'm hearing is a lot of self-compassion and the ability to kind of give what you need from the project. Yeah, like flexibility. So it's not being rigid, saying like it has to look a certain way. It's allowing yourself to be in flow with what that project needs to morph and shape into for that year, which I think is really beautiful.
Yeah, flexibility, it's so important. And again, the flexibility could be to give grit, because sometimes that is needed. But a lot of times it's, I guess I'm just learning from my own experience. If I'm too tough on myself, it affects my creativity, actually. And I just want to share to anyone who is creative, who is listening to this, who has that issue, because being extra critical on ourselves doesn't actually help us in the long run. It just shuts us down. And so that's just coming from my own experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I always think it's interesting, because it's like the things that we think we need for creativity are actually like not actually what we need. Like, we don't need to be hard on ourselves. We don't need to be like all over the place. You know, like, we actually need some structure, and we actually need like compassion for ourselves. Like, it's interesting, like the dichotomies of like what you actually need to be creative.
Yeah, and it's true. And we also live in a world where creativity is really not acknowledged and honored. And we kind of work in such a one-dimensional way, like the way we approach any job with grit and work hard and productivity. And creativity just plays by other rules. So I think the more we study our own creative flows, the better. Otherwise, we can't approach a creative life the way we would a corporate job.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I would love to talk a little bit about bringing creativity to people who don't necessarily consider themselves creative. So I know you do a lot of workshops in corporations. And it's interesting, because not that we can't be creative in corporate situations, but I do feel like corporate structure doesn't always lend itself to creativity.
I never thought I could bring creativity to a corporate structure. When the idea came, I was like, you're joking. These people would never want to draw their feelings. I felt like I was of a different kind of specimen. What I'm realizing, though, is that everyone is human. But yes, definitely a surprising kind of connection.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm curious, like, what has that experience been like? Like, are people always receptive? Like, how has it been when you've done these workshops?
Yeah, I'm still scratching the surface, honestly, but I started doing it in the pandemic when there was a lot of online programs, and I connected with a friend's workplace. She worked at a bank, like this prestigious bank, and I was like, why would they ever want to draw their feelings? But she encouraged me. She was like, just give it a shot. And what was so amazing is that, first of all, like, they took me seriously and they had an interest in this. And since then, I've done like maybe half a dozen or more different companies for employee resource groups or for teams. I've done universities. I've worked with therapists. But especially in the corporate world, one is that People are human. Humans are human. Whatever you work, people have feelings. I maybe have to tweak a little bit the language what I do so that there's like more, it's a little more clear, like this will help you with your self-awareness or whatever, you know, that we already talk about, but it's the language, the business language, which is important. But more than anything, I found that people are really interested in doing something interactive. I think a lot of people come and they give talks, but people don't come and encourage employees to pick up a pen or a pencil and literally draw and create. It's such a contrast to the workplace, which can sometimes look really sterile, like just empty. There's no color. There's none of this and posters and things around. And so I think it's actually really refreshing for people. And so I've had a few times of being really nervous and being like, oh, it's this, you know, if I tell people to start picking up their pencils and drawing, are they going to do it? And they do, and they have experiences. And so I see a lot of openness. I see a lot of, like, it's very refreshing for people. And I'm starting, as I'm opening the doors to this, I see other people doing this in corporate settings. I know some friends who will bring a whole like art set to Google or bring it to Sephora or these huge organizations, and people love it. I mean, art is such a way of connection, and we're all deeply disconnected. I think that art and creativity helps us see things differently and helps us change our perspective and helps us to communicate better, like all really important skills. So I think it's just really relevant in corporate spaces. And I think it'll just become even more and more relevant. Like our world is just so much in need of this, that I think this is something that can hopefully open up a whole industry for creatives to really be able to bring what they do into these spaces.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that, because I think that to me, creativity is kind of like, it's something that is within all of us, whether or not we label ourselves as creatives or not. And I think that for a lot of people, it's like we become kind of disconnected, right? Like it was something that we did in childhood. It's something that is childlike, maybe, yeah. You know, being creative. And so we kind of separate ourselves as we become adults and we go, oh no, like I'm serious. I'm not a creative, right? Mm-hmm. And so I love this idea where it's like, to me, it's tapping into something that's already there, right? Like it's bringing out that creativity out of someone who may have not been as connected to it as they once were. So I think that's really beautiful to be able to open that space for people.
Oh, thank you. And that's so well said, that it's already in people. And I actually like to remind everyone that at one point they were a 5-year-old who boldly declared that they were an artist. And it's like, what has happened since then? And why have we really... Yeah, we prioritize seriousness and playfulness is kind of like downplayed. So it's really good to get in touch with that.
Yeah, I love that word playfulness, right? Like playfulness goes into that child category. And it's like, no, like we can still have play as adults too.
Yeah. I mean, even think of the word work. It's like, I go to work. There's no room to play, but there really should be space for both.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. I want to talk a little bit more about emotions now. So one thing I want to share is like your work actually really impacted my connection to my emotions. So I want to share that first. Yeah. So it's so funny. I was thinking back, you did a workshop and I have my thing right here. Let me see if I can pull that sheet. But you had us do these drawings about how we're relating to one of our emotions. And the one that I was playing around with was anger. So your parts work.
Was this the parts workshop?
I think so.
Yeah. It wasn't the long course, right? It was just the 1-day workshop.
Yeah. Exactly. It was one of your quick workshops. And so I did this whole drawing. If you're watching this on YouTube, you could actually see it.
I want to get it right.
But yeah. And so I did this thing where I realized like, this is how I normally would relate to my anger, was I would push it away. And then I did this drawing, like realizing like it's a part of me and deserves to be heard and have space for it. And I swear to you, like this, doing this exercise and doing this part with you really changed the way that I was relating to being angry, because I would judge myself for being angry. And I would often kind of look at it as this like horrible side of myself. And doing this workshop made me be like, no, it's a part of me. You know, there's a reason why it's coming up. Like, what is it trying to tell me? And so I had this profound experience through that.
Wow. I just want to first of all say that image and the story is so beautiful. I mean, it makes me so happy to hear and so much like what I do, this book I wrote, everything, it started from these workshops because in some ways I might not even fully believe in the process. But when I do these workshops and I see people having like actual experiences, it's so amazing. So I'm really happy. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like I'm like nerding out right now where I'm like, I get to tell you about how you really impact me, which is super cool. But yeah, I love, why is it that you decided to start drawing your emotions, like of all things? Because I feel like that connection is really powerful and it's not something that I see anywhere else. You know, your book is Draw Your Feelings. I feel like that's become the thing for you. And I'm curious, like, why did you decide that that was how you wanted to draw, to create?
Yeah, I heard something recently. A friend told me that you teach what you need to learn. And I was like, that's me. So I didn't do this because I know emotions, because I'm a master of emotions, because I'm so self-aware. I did it because I really need it. You know, it's been such a process of many years. It was just that seed that was planted so many years ago when I drew my own feelings. It was like a thread that I was curious about that I kept coming back to. And I kept doing projects on emotions. I kept drawing about it. I remember it really came together in the pandemic when I just thought I would throw together some Zoom classes. I never did any online teaching. It was just all new to me. And I said, you know what, like, let's just draw our feelings together. I have some templates, let's do it. And it just really took off. I mean, later that year, I was putting together courses. And by the next year, I had signed a contract for this book that I pitched as Draw Your Feelings, which was based off these Zoom workshops. I guess it, just to go back, like, it's something for me that's been important, but I've become really passionate about the way arts can really express feelings that we have that we can't otherwise express. Like, I think a lot of us struggle to put how we feel into words. And when I see someone able to draw it, it's like another connection. And I find that really exciting. It just cemented this belief that we're all creative and we can all draw. Like, everyone, if I give you colors and a pencil, they can draw their anger. And it'll be super raw and real and unique to just them. And when you draw your anger, you could suddenly see it. Like, it doesn't exist as something inside of you. You kind of like create distance. And then when you create distance, you can ask questions and you can build a relationship with it. And then you have this whole like journey of healing that just starts from taking what's inside of you and putting it on paper. And so I just really believe in that process and I get really excited. You know, the more I do it, the more I see how it's impactful. So that's where it started. And yeah, that's where it's at right now too.
I love that. I love that. I wrote down this quote from one of your workshops because it struck me and I was like, oh, I got to remember this. You had it as like a slide. It said, what happens to you is not as important as what happens inside of you. And I thought that was so profound because it really is remembering like that. It's that processing, right? Like, you know, these things are these outside stimuli, but it's really like how we're taking them in that is really making the impact. And so I love that quote. I mean, what does that quote mean to you? Because you put it as like a...
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's a big part of my workshops. Yeah, even just hearing it, I kind of get goosebumps because it's so true. You know, what happens to us, everything, like our life is what happens inside of us. Our whole life is a story we tell. So what is the story we tell? That's our inside narrative. So life can be happening outside, but we're all experiencing life depending on the narrative we tell ourselves. So I can be having a beautiful day, a blessed life. And if I just tell myself I suck and I'm not happy with this and I'm not satisfied, like that's my reality. And someone else could be living in a really impoverished state and it could be really difficult. But if their narrative is really strong and powerful, that's their reality. So I find it fascinating that we're all living in our own realities that we create. And the beauty is that we can change that. We can change that inner reality. So that's like something that we have power over that we wouldn't have power over maybe the externals of our life. And so, you know, what happens to us isn't as poor as what happens inside. That's the power of art and emotions. You know, those are two things that we can cultivate. And that's all about our inside self.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I love it because it reminds me, you had kind of mentioned this earlier, of this idea of like, I feel like that's the proof to me of how we all are inner creatives is like, we are naturally storytellers. no matter what we might think of ourselves, like we are naturally creating stories about what happened to us. Like that is exactly what it is. And to me, like that is the creative spirit when we don't realize it. And so I think it's really amazing to then go, oh, I'm naturally telling the story and I can impact that story. Like I can change that story. I can draw it.
Yeah, I can rewrite it.
Yes. Exactly. I think that's what is so powerful of doing these kind of workshops is really being able to kind of take it out of our heads and put it on paper and be able to look at it and really see what that story is like.
Yeah, perfectly said. I totally believe in the power of storytelling. We're all big storytellers for sure.
Yeah. One thing you had mentioned earlier was this idea of kind of going into the unknown, you know, like you were mentioning how moving out of your career and to really fully doing this, your current role as a full-time creative is kind of moving into the unknown. So I'm curious, like, what has that been like for you kind of navigating going into the unknown and not having that charted course? Because that is very scary for people, right? So what has that been like for you?
Yeah. Oh man. I just made me remember, I think a few years ago, I made this drawing about how to befriend uncertainty. I would love to look it up. It's somewhere on my Instagram. And I'm like, I need that advice right now. But it's basically a constant dance. I mean, it's a tension that you'll never quite be comfortable in. The unknown and following what's different, you'll always be inside of that. So for me, it's like a journey in constantly learning to believe in myself and also in being okay in that discomfort of uncertainty and self-doubt when it comes. Yeah, you know, it's like every other week I'll be like, oh, I love what I'm doing. I see possibility. I'm going to keep going in this creative path. And then suddenly, time to get a real job. Time to find some security. And I think normalizing that is really important because we're human. We're never going to quite feel like fully, fully satisfied in what we're doing. I think the mind is always going to be a big part of that. So I would say simply put, it's just a journey in sort of believing in ourselves and also living in this tension of like, this is what I'm passionate about and I'm fearful about doing it. And this is so satisfying and I'm not, you know, I don't have full security. And I think being okay in that is really important. I think that's a big part of living a creative life. Being creative basically means being courageous and doing things differently. So if we're willing to do that, then we will have the strength to keep sailing even when things are feeling uncertain.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm curious, like when you decided to actually leave your regular job, what was that like for you? Like what made you kind of decide to take that step?
The short answer is the pandemic, which was a great opportunity. But I think I was already there and I wasn't putting my full energy into it until like an opportunity came that shifted things. So for me, that was the pandemic. But we all have different pandemics in our life that might just kind of wake us up or show us what's important or give us the courage to take a risk. And so I had enough of a security net. I came back home for a few years. I remember the first thing that got me going is I signed up for sort of like a coaching experience with this woman I really admired, Betsy Cortez, actually. She runs like an art brand alliance. She's worked in the creative industry for years and she's coached a lot of creatives into really stepping up their business. So I remember that call being like a moment. You know, sometimes we have these moments of like, I'm going to take myself seriously. And I remember I paid an amount of money that I've just never done for coaching. And I was like, okay, if I do this, that means I'm taking myself seriously. And I think that was like a turning point. And since then, there was like a lot of these moments of like, okay, let me figure out my finances or let me set like a financial goal for this year. Let me do this. And yeah, it's never like cold turkey. Like it's always my foot was on another option if I ever needed to. You know, I was like, oh, maybe I'll go back to school. Maybe I'll get a job. But the thing that it comes down to is like, it's just one step at a time. You just open one door at a time. And I would open a door and then I'd be like, oh, another opportunity. And then a few months later, it was like, I got the book deal. And that was like, well, that's such a big opportunity. I'm not going back now. And so that's how it was for me. So it was definitely helpful to have that opportunity, but it was just a lot of these little moments. I never like felt ready, like, oh, now is the moment. I'm going to jump into the unknown. It's like, oh, here's an opportunity. Oh, let me stretch it. Oh, let me invest in coaching. Okay, let me try this for 6 months. I gave myself like a 6 month goal. And like that, it just kept going.
Well, and I like how you said that you kind of kept it in your back pocket. Like, yes, you can go back. It's still there. And I think that's almost important for our brains to kind of help us take that courageous leap is like, well, you know, the option to go back to it is there if I really needed it. But all of these opportunities kept opening up and you just kept going forward, which I think is really nice. Yeah.
Yes, it works for me.
Cool. Amazing. So can you talk a little bit about what the experience of your book has been like? Like, how is it creating your book? Like, what has been going into really, you know, a book is so different from like a workshop and from the other things you've been doing. So what has that been like for you?
Yeah. Oh, I could do like a whole podcast on that process. There was a lot to it. I should read my breakup letter to my book. Have you read that? I think I posted it sometime last year. I basically took my book out on a date when I was struggling to finish it. And I wrote a letter that felt a lot like a breakup letter. It was like, dear book, like we got to figure out, we got to talk about some hard things, how you're holding me back in life and how I'm not willing to let you go. And I mean, it's funny, like looking back at it now, and it was like profoundly helpful and creative, but that just, I sort of want to give that anecdote to illustrate how funny and interesting and unpredictable the process is of writing. You know, when I got the opportunity, I got the deal. In some ways, it all came very easily. It was like, boom, boom, boom. You know, my editor reached out to me. She was interested in what I was doing. She asked me, you know, do you have a book? Have you ever thought about writing a book? And I said, of course. And I had this workbook I made for one of my courses called Draw Your Feelings. Sent it to her. She loved it. We were just like off to the races. It was amazing until I realized I had to write the thing. And I was like, wait, okay, it's great to sign a book deal, but like, how do you actually write the book? I remember like a huge ton of like self-doubt and imposter syndrome actually hit me. And I just felt so confused on where to start. And in many ways, I've written a lot, I've created a lot, but I think because the task felt so big, I didn't know what to even make that would be worthy of being a book and how to put my exercises together. You know, it was sort of like a 2-year process. Like a year went into just like thinking about it. And then the last year went into really putting it together. And again, it's a lot of emotions came up, of course, you know, writing a book about feelings, a lot of questions of myself, a lot of just not sure where to begin and how to do such a big project. And eventually, again, there's so much to be said, but a few things I'll share. One is that I got a really great support system, even outside of like my editing team. I found a friend who would read through every chapter and do all the exercises and give me feedback. I found another friend who was like my project manager. She would keep me up to date with deadlines. And I created this little support system that was really helpful. And then another part of the process was just never knowing when is finished, when is it enough? Like nothing was ever quite good enough in some ways. I would do a chapter and I was like, I could fix this. And it was just never ending. And then that would be so frustrating. I would drop the whole project for months and it was hard to come back to. So there was a lot of that. And so a big lesson, I think, was learning when enough is enough. And therefore, the breakup letter, which it was actually really helpful to personify the book and to see it as an entity separate from myself. That this book, now that it's here, I mean, it's wild that it's here and it's exciting, but it's not me. It like has its own life, if that makes sense. And so in some ways, I just sort of, it gives like a healthy sense of detachment of like, I'm really proud of it. I created it and now it's yours. Like the minute you pick up this book or anyone picks it up and draws in it, it's literally their book and their process. And so that's been helpful and really exciting, having that distance and just being like really excited for my book. Like, oh, where's it going to next? What's happening? That's a little bit of an insight to it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's so interesting because it's true. It's like you have this relationship with this experience of this creation that you're pouring so much into. It must just be so hard trying to know, like, when is it done? Like, how do I really say, like, close this chapter and say, like, we're good here. It can go out into the universe now. So I appreciate that so much. I'm definitely going to go and look up your breakup letter with your book. I love that.
Yeah. I'll have to send you a link. It's somewhere there on my Instagram.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a copy of your book, which I got signed when I saw you, which I'm excited. And also I'm part of your feelings club. So I'm like, oh, I can actually do it through the feelings club, right? Like the workshops are alongside your book, which is super exciting. But yeah, I started to do some of the exercises. I need to actually post them so you can see them, right? I haven't been doing that.
Oh, I would love to see them.
Yeah, I did the one where you had to draw yourself as a child with your left hand or your non-dominant hand, rather. That one like cracked me up. Let me see if I can. This is me with my left
hand. That is a great drawing. That's fantastic. You even included a shadow. I love it.
I did. The face was drawn with my right hand because I just could not handle trying to do that. But no, it was a nice little exercise. And I wrote a nice little letter to my inner child alongside it. I could rave all day about how much I love your workshops.
Thank you.
Oh, that was the word I was thinking of before. When you were talking about how it's giving language to something that we otherwise often don't have, is I think that is something that I think is so nice about all this. It makes me think of that feelings chart, the circle that you often show.
Yeah.
I mean, A, the colors behind it is really nice, but also just like labeling how we're feeling and being able to connect to it with these words, I think is really powerful in really connecting to how we're feeling. So I think it's really cool.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let me ask you, is there anything else that we haven't covered off on that you would like to share?
Oh, this has been great. We covered on so much. What else? No, I would love to hear any last questions or anything like that from your end.
Okay, awesome. We'll go into our final questions. I mean, I could talk to you all day about this stuff because I love your work so much. So
we should do a round two sometime. One little thing that I got an idea for is when you were showing me your image of your part, like your anger part. First of all, it's so awesome. And second of all, like I love having conversations with people like processing their art in real time, because we can have a lot of interesting discoveries. So I'll just put that out there as a future idea. That can be something really cool. It's almost having a podcast where you're sharing your art and we're in the moment processing and discovering it. But that is just a thought.
I love that idea. I love it so much. Oh, actually, what you're making me think is, because I mentioned it at the beginning, the looking back and letting go workshop, like what is that? I was like, all right, let me share that one. I didn't intend to show all of my personal art, but
I love it. For me, this is great. And for anyone who's listening right now, the Looking Back and Letting Go workshop is one of my favorites. I wanted to actually mention that this is my fourth year doing it this year. And I never intended it for it to be like, you know, sequential every year annual workshop, but it's been so meaningful. And I got to the point this year where some people were like, oh, this is my fourth year doing it with you. And it just filled my heart that we're creating like this tradition with people literally all over the world who come together on New Year's Eve with me and we draw our timeline. So it gets bigger and better every year. This year we did it like a fundraiser, actually. So all proceeds, I donated it. We raised over $2,000 for girls in villages in India for education. So that was really powerful. Anyway, I'm just imagining a few years down the road that we get like thousands of people live doing this. And I definitely see that happening. So that's quite exciting.
Yeah, it's been amazing to see there's hundreds and hundreds of people that have been joining. Like this year had over 400 people. Do you remember how many people were on there?
It was close to 400. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, it's so funny because I did this exercise in 2021 and then in 2022, I missed the workshop. And then I did it this last year and I was like, dang, I wish I had drawn out my 2022. So maybe I'll go back and do it. But yeah. Again, well, I'll try and explain it since some people are just listening to me, but this was my year.
I want to know what happened in the summer and then what happened right there in September. I love how in a visual, so let me just say one thing about timelines I love. If anyone is looking at it, you just see it and it's like a window into someone's life. You know, it's such an honor to receive it, but it's so cool. Anyway, I want to hear more, but I already get a sense that something powerful happened for you this year.
Yes. You know, it's so funny that you say that because I've been kind of afraid of sharing this like on Instagram or anything because it does feel very personal to share these things because I'm like, this is a very deep snapshot of what my life has been like in the last year. And for me, it's like, I've like burned out in the middle of the year. That's what this big angry middle area is. In case you're not seeing this, the middle of my year is like, looks like a volcano, basically. And then I actually layered in other emotions. So I was like, there was sadness built in there. There was frustration, like all these other feelings that were coming up alongside this like burned out feeling that I was experiencing. It's interesting because my other one had this something similar where it was like something really like dramatic happened in the middle of the year and then things got a lot better by the end of the year. So it's so interesting like graphing out your year and your emotions because you get to see kind of like what happened. And so by the end of the year, my chart is mostly filled with genius and joy are the two words that I decided to do. So orange is genius, yellow is joy. Because I was realizing when I was burned out, my genius got like stifled. Like I couldn't be creative as we were talking about, like couldn't kind of produce and enjoy this whole, I didn't have the space for that. And so it got lost in the shuffle. And then when I came out of it, it was like all my genius kind of flowed back out through me. So yeah, so that was my year. Yes, it's a lot to look at.
Wow. Thank you for sharing it. It's so beautiful, actually, just seeing both visually and the story behind it and just seeing so clearly what you experienced. Oh my gosh, I know I can relate and so many others to that feeling as well.
Yeah. And then I love the second part where we do the letting go, because one of my favorite things is trying to come up with a good analogy of what letting go means. So last time I did it, I had two hands where one hand was holding on to things and one hand was letting go of things. And then,
wow, oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah. And then this time I did both. So I think I showed this to you when we were in there.
Oh, I've never seen
it.
That's a new one.
Yeah. Here's my hands.
Oh my God. I love that. I've never seen that before. You have to send that to me if you want, so I can use that as an example, because I always use the example of balloons, but the truth is you can use any analogy.
Yeah. And so this time I didn't have a keeping. I just had letting go. That's what I needed. But it was these boats.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Okay. For anyone who's not seeing this, it's a beautiful image of all these different boats floating in the water, all holding some different quality of letting go.
Yeah. So the words in there were things like self-criticism, self-doubt, fear of success, not believing in myself, feeling not enough. And so all of those things were things I was like, I want to imagine that I'm putting them in little boats and letting them like drift away from me. And I like that because it's very like subtle. Like I love the balloons too, right? We're not pushing them.
Slowly.
Yeah, it's flowy.
We're not burning them.
Exactly. Yeah, we're not burning them. We're not doing anything like painful. It's like, how do we release them and let them go? So that's why boats this year was kind of my imagery of letting go.
Oh, I love that. Thank you for sharing. It's always so encouraging just seeing the different ways we're all processing our year. So that's so fun. It's already making me think about next year. I know we're only in January and I'm like, how will my 2024 look?
I know. And I'm like, what new analogy am I going to come up with for like letting go this next year? I don't know. But yeah, that's why I love being on the workshops, because you get to see like everyone's different ways of doing it. And you're like, whoa, how did they come up with that? Like people are so creative. It's incredible.
Mm-hmm. So true.
Okay. Now that I had way too much fun sharing all of my art.
That was the best.
All right. So let's now dive into your final questions if you're ready for it. Okay. So your first question is, how would you describe your current relationship to yourself?
The work in progress. What is it like that package, handle with care? That's me right now with myself.
I love that. I love that. All right. What is something you're currently working on, either on yourself or bringing into the world?
Ooh, I am actually taking a little step back from teaching for the next few months. Not that I got burnt out, but I felt such a need to like slow down a little bit and learn. So I'm really fascinated with parts work. So IFS, internal family systems, for anyone who is not familiar with, it's an amazing like psychological model of understanding ourselves, and you can go so deep into it. So I have self-studied it in the past and I've done workshops on it. It's even in my book, but I'm really excited to like receive coaching and therapy and learning about it. So I'm sort of diving into that world right now and just loving it.
Amazing. I love that. All right. So next question is, what do you consider most valuable to you right now?
I mean, the first word that came up is time. And the second word that came up is space. They're very big words, but yeah, time and space. That's what I'm just wanting to protect right now.
Absolutely. All right. What is the best lesson that you've learned recently?
I would say the best lesson I've learned is power of doing small things consistently, chipping away, and not needing to do big things, but that small things with love is really what's most important.
I love that. It makes me think of the Aristotle quote that says like excellence is like all the little things. It's not a I'm forgetting exactly what the quote is right now.
It's not like an achievement, but it's a habit.
Yes, something along those lines. It's making me think of that. Like basically, it's the little things that actually build up to the big things. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Okay. And your final question is, what do you consider to be the purpose or the meaning of life?
Oh, what a great question to end on. For me at this moment, I would say the purpose is to know myself, to know God, and to serve others.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you so much, Rukmini. So please tell people how they can buy your book, find you. So I know your Instagram is Rockin' Rooksy, correct?
That is. Please, yes. They can find me on Instagram. They can send me a hello, a message. And otherwise, my website is dearrooksy.com. And there's all the information about my books, about any upcoming workshops. You can sign up for my newsletter. Everything is there. So check it out. I do still have my calendar on sale if anyone is interested. And you can also find my books there as well.
Perfect. All right. Well, I'll be sure to include it in the show notes and the under this video and everything so everyone can get connected with you and enjoy some of your art and your workshops as well and your books. So thank you. Thank you so much again for taking the time to be on the show. It's been so lovely connecting with you. And I can't wait to join more of your workshops. I'll be in Feelings Club drawing with you.
Yay! Can't wait. Thank you, Jessica. It's been so lovely to be here with you today.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of A Way of Thinking. I hope it has been a source of inspiration and guidance as you continue to navigate your path towards greater creativity, purpose, and inner peace. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, rate, and leave a review. Your feedback helps us reach more seekers like you. And for those of you ready to take a deeper dive into your journey, I invite you to book a free strategy session with me, your host, Jessica Huang. It's an opportunity for us to explore how you can shift to the creative career you've always dreamed of. Simply visit jessicahuangcoaching.com and schedule your session today. Remember, the power to create the life you desire resides within you. And I'm here to support you every step of the way. Until next time, embrace the journey, cultivate your inner creative, and never stop seeking your true purpose.